And that same gentleman that prayed had a word of encouragement for me at the end of the service last week. And he told me once again that I owe the men of this church a feel-good sermon. And, I told you at the beginning of last week that if I preached this thing right, that probably everybody would leave mad at me. And I think I was successful, actually. I think not one woman left that said anything discouraging to me. But I had never heard such whining in all my life from the men of this church. And all I did is tell you to love your wives, like some big revelation. You know? Amen. I like to just be really honest with you. And today, you're not going to get a feel-good sermon today. And you're probably not going to get it for a few weeks. And as long as I'm pastor here, you may never get it. Unless the Lord just leads us to do something. But I have such a tremendous burden on my heart to teach today, to make sure. I could just cry right now, quite honestly. I want you to get this lesson. The next two or three lessons, in my opinion, are so vital to who we are. And my fear is not in your learning ability. My fear is in my communication ability. And I want to make sure that you get this. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. And I will report to you that we had three ladies in the church had surgery this last week. And all three are well. And surgeries went successful. And just a real blessing. So we want to say thanks to the Lord for that. Amen. One of them that was told before surgery that this is a very painful surgery, a very painful recovery, texted us yesterday, and she said, I believe that I'm under a miracle, because she said, I have no pain whatsoever. So we just give the Lord praise for that, and just keep praying for these ladies that they have total recovery. Amen. Our God is still a healer. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, and I titled this sermon, Fleshly Weapons Lose Spiritual Battles. Fleshly weapons lose spiritual battles. And I'm just covering four verses today. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father God, we just come before you again. Lord, we seek your face today. We seek revelation from heaven. God, I pray that you would use me to speak the wisdom of God, the oracles from heaven. God, I pray, Lord, that every person under the sound of my voice would have ears to hear. God, I ask that something would happen in the Spirit today so that the light bulb would go off in our hearts, minds, spirits. And then maybe we would see life from a different perspective all of a sudden. We would know how dependent we are upon you. God, I really need your help. So I lean on you today, Jesus. I lean upon you. God, help us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Paul starts off and he's written one of the most powerful books of the New Testament, in my opinion, the book of Ephesians. And he started verse 10. He says, finally, my brother. And when we read that, we think, oh, he's concluding his book. No, that's not what this means at all. He's not in conclusion. I want to give you one more little piece of advice. He's saying, I want to build upon one final thing here. I want to bring this all to one point and show you something very, very powerful. And that's what he means by finally, my brethren. So he's writing to the church. He's writing to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We should not be ignorant of his devices. I find and I feel like Christians are lazy today, and we are all sort of looking for the easy button of life. And I just got news for you, it's not out there. And being a Christian is not easy. You get it? It's not easy being a Christian. It's difficult. It's a challenge. It's a battle. When you ask Jesus into your life, you have an enemy who wants to devour you, wants to destroy your life, and wants to kill and steal everything good about you. That enemy is the devil. And sometimes I think the enemy is you. Because we have been trained in destructive forces against ourselves. You believe a lie, and the Bible says you will be damned. And I think that we believe a lie much of the time in our life. I was talking to a person very dear to me, fellow minister. And he said, Eric, he said, you ever feel like a failure? And I said, all the time. I deal with that constantly. Am I making a difference? Am I successful? I don't think there's a higher calling of God than to be a minister. Unless it's being a parent. I think they're pretty close to the same. So I take this job, this calling, very seriously. And I want to make sure that you're equipped with the truth. So that you build your foundations of life on truth and not a lie. And I guess I would start off by saying you are not a failure. And God has not called you to defeat. God has called us to victory. But in our society today, we just think it should happen easy. We think, oh yes, being a Christian, I just, it's all about Him. No, that's just not true. It's a whole lot about the decisions you make. It's a whole lot about how hard you want to fight. Because it's a battle. Rick Renner said this. I thought this was worth including. He says, if we do not have a solid biblical understanding of the devil. You know, about half of the church now doesn't believe there is a devil. Boy. If I was the devil, that's what I'd want the church. I'd want the church to believe that I don't exist. Isn't that great? I mean, he is something else. He's got half of the church, half of the body of Christ believing that he doesn't exist. Woo! You got to have a biblical understanding of the devil, of our Christ-imparted authority over him, and our divinely empowered weaponry to be used against him. We are left wide open to all kinds of wrong thinking, vain imagination, fear, and unfounded faith or unfounded methods of opposing our enemy. Wise up. And let's get real. You've got an enemy. And he is pretty sophisticated in what he is doing. I want to start with a verse in Romans chapter 5. And I did not include this. I just now sort of thought that this would add something. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you can just listen to me if you want to. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2 is a very powerful verse, so listen. Through whom, through Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I think it's very interesting that he says here, we have this access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And when we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, as we study this, you're going to find out that it's all about standing. Never once in the scripture does he tell us to overcome the enemy, war on the enemy. He just tells us to stand. Do you have any understanding of why he says that? It's because the battle has already been won. It's over. The judgment's been, he's down for the count, but he is a deceiver. So he deceives us into believing that he won this thing, but we know that Jesus wins. When Jesus came, you have heard this statement, I'm sure. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. Right? He became a man that we could become the sons of God. By him coming and living, the greatest thing that he did, other than forgiving us of our sins, is he gave us access. We can now, according to Hebrews, come boldly into the throne of grace and make our petitions made known to God, where we will receive grace and mercy in our time of need. Do you ever wake up in the morning and find a day when you don't need Him? I certainly don't. I find that every day seems to be my day of need. This portion of Scripture, in my opinion, is saying we can be overcomers. But you're going to have to decide how much are you going to access the throne room of heaven. All Christians are not alike. We're not on the same level playing field, are we? We're all at different stages, and that doesn't mean we get the opportunity to look our nose down on people. But there are spiritual giants among us. You know, it's pretty obvious when someone works out, except for me. I work out all the time, and I remember the very first thing the guy, I think he saw into my life, and he said, Eric, he said, you cannot outwork a bad diet. So, I'm working on it. But you've seen these guys and even girls now that they lift and their arms look like your leg, right? I mean, they're just massive. They got a neck that can't even see their neck anymore. It's just like their head is sitting on their shoulder. They are massive people. Why? Because they've been working out. And the Bible says there is benefits to that. There's benefits to bodily exercise. But there's more benefit to spiritual exercise. Some of the greatest people in the body of Christ who have the most power, you can't see it. They don't stand out among us. They don't have big old arms or their heart doesn't pump out of their chest. You know, they just look like normal, average, and many times not even average. Many times, those that are super strong in the faith actually are weak in the flesh. Have you ever noticed that? I remember this last year or so when Michael was going through great difficulty, literally hanging between life and death many days. had a brain injury. Man, that guy, God has been faithful to you, Michael. But I'm going to tell you, by and large, it's because of her over there. Sister Jessie called us one time about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know what happened, but she never could hear us on the phone. But Michael was between life and death. He was about to die that day. As we sat on that phone, we had our little cell phone and had it on speaker. We're screaming at her. Jesse, Jesse, we're here. We're praying with you. Jesus. She never heard us. But we witnessed the prayer of a mighty person. As this woman would not take no for an answer. And she declared life over him. She was making statements that were coming out of the pit of her belly, where the Bible says will flow rivers of living water. And she was saying, he will not die, but he will live and declare the glory of the Lord. And she absolutely, I'm telling you, I could just see in the spirit, I could see this frail little older lady standing up in the faith. And making this declaration that I believe all of heaven was listening to. And that is not to glorify a person. That is to encourage every one of us that your day is coming. When you're going to need to know that you can stand. You can be strong in the Lord. He says to be strong in the Lord. The first thing I want you to notice is he says be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself. Not in your intellectual ability. Not in anything about you. But know that your strength is in him. Because there's coming a day in every one of our lives when you can't cut the mustard. Good old Kentucky term right there. The word strong is in dunamu, which means it's explosive strength, ability, or power. Lately, I have been praying this over you every day as I pray. I've been just saying, God, let him be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let him be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let him be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, if I had one thing that I could give you today, it would be that you would know, that you know, that you know you are strong in him and you are mighty in God. We need that explosive strength. Our strength is found in our relationship with Jesus. How much are you accessing the throne of heaven? And dunamu turns ordinary men and women into champions who possess supernatural, superhuman strength for a special task. And so many of us don't even believe it. Some of our forefathers that started this nation was deists. They believe God created the heavens and the earth and then just took a step back and said, well, let's see how it plays out. We are not deists. I believe that God is very active and very involved in our everyday life. I should say I believe that he wants to be. I believe that he died so he could be, so he could give us access to the throne. I believe that many times he's not involved in our daily life because we're not asking him to be. We're not coming before the throne. We've not developed that relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us dependent upon him so that we sing songs like, he's the great I am. It's just a song to some of you. You're just singing, the great I am. But there's others in this room who cannot sing that song without a lot of emotion. Because He is the great I am. He has carried us through many battles. I said last week, you cannot have a testimony without a test. And every test that you go through provides you a testimony of the goodness of God and the grace of God and the overcoming power. And we are so bad to whine about what we're going through today, when I think we better just stop and say, thank you, Lord, for another test. Thank you, Lord, that I know You're going to prove Yourself to be faithful once again, to be all-powerful, to move heaven or hell if You have to for me. Be strong. Be powerful. Be explosive in your strength. Your work needs an example of someone that knows their God. Daniel said, Daniel, you remember Daniel, right? Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel said, those that know their God will do exploits. That's Old Testament, guys. How well do you know God? The word power many times is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. But in this term right here, it's not dunamis, it's kratos. It's the demonstrated, eruptive, tangible power, such as you might say, resurrection power. My Bible says in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Paris, Tennessee. Yeah, He doesn't say that. But I said that. Paris, Tennessee needs to know that there's a church and a group of people that take God at His word and believe God and will see exploits because they know their God. The might is askew. It's the ability to use His strength. The ability to be able to apply what God has given us. I believe that, first of all, we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know our identity. Believe a lie, you'll be damned. If you believe you're a weakling, you'll be a weakling. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, when you look in that mirror and you see whatever you're seeing, that's who you are. I think we need to change what we see in the mirror. I think we need to begin to get our identity out of the book of life and not the heritage of death. I don't care what daddy said about you. I don't care what your fourth grade teacher said about you. I care about what Jesus said about you. And when you begin to rehearse the things that God says about you, your life will change. Why? Because you're building on a true foundation of truth. You are who He says you are, not who anyone else says. We need to know how to approach the throne. You don't come to God undeserving or like a dog that's been whipped. You ever whipped a dog? And they tuck that tail. And that's the way many people come to the throne. Oh my. I'm not worthy. No, you're not worthy. He knows you're not worthy. But He loves us anyway. He makes us worthy. He makes us worthy. You don't have it in yourself. It's because of Him. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. We need to understand that in our little thinker. God, I don't deserve your goodness, but here I am again today, Lord. And I'm so thankful that you have given me access to the throne of heaven. You know, I believe that he has every answer to every problem that we'll ever have. If it's financial, he's got it covered. He paves his streets with gold. Just ask him to chip off a little bit of pavement and send it to you. He's the great I am. You know, every time you introduce yourself, you talk about his name. I'm Eric. I'm Eric Kelleher. It's good to meet you. I am. That's who he is. Do you think possibly that he was trying to give us a little clue that every time we introduce ourselves, we find our identity in him? Did I lose you? We have delegated authority. Jesus said, everything has been given to me and I give everything to you. You don't stand in your own power. You stand under the might of heaven. Tony Elkins is a cop. And he's just a man like anybody else. But when he puts that uniform on, that badge on, he goes into the middle of the street and he does this. And an 18-wheeler coming down the road at 55 miles an hour will deadlock if he has to what? To stop. Because one little scrawny guy has got his hand up. Because he recognizes, and you recognize, when that shield is on, there's a delegated authority that's not one man. That's the city of Paris, the state of Tennessee, and the nation of the United States of America has given that man authority to put his hand up. Oh, if you get this. You see, when you pray, it's not just about a man. It's not about a man. It's about the shield that we have. Putting our hand out and all of heaven stops and listens. I was leading song service one time and the Lord gave me in an instant just a little bit of a vision. And I saw the Lord whispering to an angel or talking to an angel and saying, you watch him. And if he continues to confess my word over this, we have to do it. That's what the word of God says. His word does not return void. He's powerful to back up his word. I want you to understand, it's not your thoughts. It's not your imagination. It's not your intellect. But when you begin to pray the word of God, you are praying the words of Jesus. And the words of this word, when they come out of your mouth, are just as powerful as when they come out of Jesus. All of heaven takes notice. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now you can go to work naked. You probably won't stay there a long time. Brother Tony will be getting another call. Or you can take time to get dressed. And how silly it is to think that a person would get up and go to work naked. And how often we do that spiritually. We get up, we will not forget our coffee, but we will forget our prayer time. We will never say, Jesus, I need your help. I don't know what I'm going to face today, but I need you. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. And how often do we not ask? I don't know about you. I do not want to be dependent upon Eric's intellectual ability. I need a little bit more than that. I need help. You remember when you were raising your children? 1,000 questions. Can I do this? Can I do that? And many of them seem innocent, but they're not. Only God knows what danger lies ahead of them. Right? I feel so much apathy for single women raising children. They don't have a counterpart. Man, it's hard enough to raise kids when there's two of you. But when you're having to do it by yourself, dear God, they need help. I don't know about you, but I felt like I needed help all the time when I was raising children. They were trying me constantly. I can remember thinking, I understand child abuse. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah. And I didn't. I won't ever say that I was not tempted. But we need to put on the whole armor of God. And the next few verses, he's going to describe every piece of armor. What you got to realize is that as Paul wrote this, he was under house arrest. And there was a Roman soldier standing right beside him. And I think he just looked up and he said, yeah, we need that helmet. Yeah, we need a breastplate. Yeah. We need a sword. We need shoes like that. He began to see a physical man that was dressed and apply it to how we get dressed spiritually. My encouragement to you today as we study this lesson is just don't leave home naked. Let's get dressed for battle. You never know what you're going to face. Even today, as we leave this place, many of you have got Super Bowl party plans and different things like that planned today, and you don't know. Maybe being a pastor and living in the house of a minister is different than everybody else. I suspect that it is a bit. But at any given moment in our day, life comes to an extreme halt. When someone texts you or someone calls you, my husband just had a stroke. Pray, Pastor. My child just overdosed. I'm in the emergency room. Pray, Pastor. I better know how to pray. I better know how to seek heaven for you. But you need to know. You need to know you can go to the throne of heaven. You don't need me. I am more than happy to pray for you, to stand with you, to intercede for you. But you don't need me. You're just as good as I am. You go to the throne boldly declaring what you need according to this word, not according to your thoughts. Your word says this, Father, and I'm standing upon your word. Jehoshaphat, when he got the worst news of his life, got a letter, said, we're coming for you, boy. The four kings have joined together and we will destroy you. In less than a few days, you're going to be drinking your own urine and eating your own waste. How'd you like to get a letter like that? Has a way of seriousness, right? I love Jehoshaphat. He took this letter, and I believe it was like this. And he goes to the altar of God, and he lays that letter down, and he said, boys, we need to pray. We turn our eyes to you. You see, in ourself, we don't have a leg to stand on. We are weak. But he is strong. You may get a diagnosis this week of cancer. You could get a diagnosis of an incurable disease. The economy of the United States could change this week to where every one of us that have money in the bank, it's worth nothing. You see, if your life is built upon your bank account, you're not building on a solid foundation. Say, Pastor, that couldn't happen. It's happened before, folks. I'm not trying to be a fearmonger. I'm not trying to make you worry. I'm trying to make you build on the right foundation. That our strength, our hope, our life is built in Him. Put on the whole armor of God. Now I want to tell you, a coward with armor on is still a coward. That's pretty good, fellas. You got to know who you are. Besides putting the armor on, you got to know who you are. And I believe that's what the helmet of salvation is all about. And He said that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Good old King James English that most of us says, what in the world is that? It's the method. It's the strategies. Most every Christian alive today could quote to you Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan for me, a plan to prosper me. Well, I got news for you. The devil's got a plan for you too. He's got a strategy on how to take you out, how to destroy your life. And you know, he's not satisfied with just stealing from you or killing you. He wants to destroy your testimony. I believe with all my heart there are certain things that come through the bloodline. I believe in family curses. I just believe that the blessing of God is so much stronger. My biological father was an adulterer, had a real problem. And all my life I thought, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I was telling Treva on my drive over here, I can remember the day that I broke that in the spirit. It just takes somebody to stand in the gap and break that family curse. All my parents, or many of my parents, were alcoholics. I didn't want it for me, but I didn't want it for my children. So I broke that in Jesus' name. Some of you, this may be totally like, I don't even know what he's talking about. You really need to attend Elijah House this next weekend. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, he says, though we walk in the flesh, that's though we're armed with this flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now a stronghold, this is not scripture, I'm going to describe to you what a stronghold is. A stronghold is a long-held belief in your mind. Back to, if I think I'm a failure, I'm a failure. You will find yourself failing and failing and failing. Why? Because you believe it. As a man thinks in his heart. You see, the battle that we're facing, the battle that we're fighting is right here. This is the battleground right here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not meaty, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The old King James used to say every imagination. And bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Many of us are fighting spiritual things in the flesh. And many people think that their problem is their husband. It's their wife. It's their boss. It's their landlord. It's their preacher. No, it's not. Come on. If I just went to a better church, my life would be more successful. Maybe if you became a better church. Maybe if you understand you are the church. You see, our battle is not with each other. Our battle is not flesh and blood. My battle against rejection is not because my daddy rejected me. It's a spiritual thing. That's good. My battle with poverty is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's good. My battle with sickness is not physical. It's spiritual. There's a few things that I think we can really take away from this. Number one is the forces of evil are powerful. The Bible says in Peter, the devil is as. Didn't say he was a roaring lion. It says he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is not this little guy dressed in red with a pitchfork. He's a spiritual force. The forces of evil are powerful, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The forces of evil are numerous, but heaven's not broke, and it's not empty. The forces of evil are apparently organized into a hierarchy of God. Daniel prayed one time for something to happen, and an angel of the Lord, 21 days came later, 21 days later, came and brought the answer to Daniel. And he said, I want you to know that we heard your prayer request the first day you prayed it. And we've been fighting over the prince and the power of the air over Persia. We've been fighting him, and we had to call Michael in to sustain, to win this battle. I want you to know it may take Michael in your battle, and God will send Michael if he has to, the archangel of heaven, to see that you overcome. You're not alone. We're not in this thing by ourselves. God Almighty is on our side. The forces of evil are the rulers of the darkness of this age. You wonder why everything is so dark, and it's getting darker. It's not man. It's the spirit that's driving man. The forces of evil are spiritual forces of wickedness. We got to learn to pray, folks. We must learn to pray. We must learn to access, A-C-C-E-S-S, the kingdom of heaven, the throne room of heaven. We must learn to get dressed for battle every day. Because you never know when you're going to need it. And even if you don't need it today, someone you love may need it. And he says the last thing, the last verse, he says, taking the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That word there means stand, nose to nose. You know, when guys get in a fight, and I've been in a few, growing up, they throw out that chest, a lot of language usually, and they try to intimidate you. Because the easiest way to win a battle is if the other guy goes away in defeat, shrinks back. So they get right in your face, nose to nose, spit to spit. Screaming things at you like you're 10 miles away and they're right here. They want you to sit down. They don't want to fight you, but now they know they may have to, but they don't want to fight. They just want you to cower down. You see, I find Satan is very similar to that. Satan gets right in your face and he starts screaming at you. And he has this spirit of intimidation, this power that's behind him that makes you feel extremely weak. And Christians need to get a little bulldog in them. You know, God created a bulldog and he put his nose back, his nostrils back, where he could bite and still breathe. You need to get a little bulldog in yourself. And you need to go nose to nose with Satan. Not in your own power. In the authority of the Word and heaven. So that you refuse to cower down. Most Christians run because they're intimidated. This is good. This is just coming from heaven. I believe with all my heart. I've never seen a 6'7" guy that weighs 300 pounds be very intimidated by a 5'6", 120 pound guy. He just looks at him. He's trying to breathe, trying to get him to back down. If you got that analogy, you're the 6'7", 300 pound guy because heaven's behind you. Satan's the 5'6", 120 pound. He's going to make you think he's the big one on the block, but he ain't the big one on the block. I wrestled a little bit in high school just for a short time. And freshman year of high school. 5'4" and I weigh a... I've always wore Huskies. My center of gravity is fairly low. You wrestle by weight. I wrestled, the very first wrestling match I had was the tallest kid in the 9th grade class. We weighed the same. He was 6'2". I beat that fella all over the place. I only got one point knocked off of me, and that's because I was choking him. I had him in a headlock, and I was just choking the fire. The teacher said, "You got to stop that, Eric. He's about to pass out." You better know who you are. If you're not in a fight, I got a prophetic word for you. A fight's coming. Know who you are. Let's get dressed for battle. And you realize you don't stand in your own power. All of heaven is at your beck and call. I wish that we understood that one. Christians feel so lonely. So by ourselves much of the time. You are never alone. You're never alone. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But you have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power of God is within you. You're just going to have to reach down and grab the mighty man and pull him out. Because there's somebody mighty in you. He is the Holy Spirit of God. Let's not be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. He's got some devices. He's got a strategy. He's got a game plan. He is no match for a believer. Not one that knows who they are. We got to wake up. We got to figure this thing out. And we got to break some assignments that's over us spiritually. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking about yourself? I think I'm a weakling. I think I'm not real smart. I think God put me on this earth to make others look good. It's amazing what people believe about themselves. Oh, if we could get the picture of how God sees us and compare it to the picture that you see, you probably would say, that's not me. It's who God sees you are. You are powerful in God. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. It doesn't mean everything's right in the world. It doesn't mean that all your theology is right. It doesn't mean that you don't still have problems. Would you please listen to me? But you are a man of God. You're a woman of God. That ought to make a difference. So that when you look in the mirror, you see there's something beyond you. There's a force, there's a power that's strong, that's mighty, that can conquer, that's been called to conquer. God didn't put Adam on the earth and say, make it, boy. He said, conquer it, boy. Rule it. I give you dominion. Well, when Jesus died, Adam lost it. But when Jesus died, you now have your dominion back. Do you feel it? Are you utilizing it? Are you speaking it? The Bible says in Proverbs 21:18, the power of life and death is in your tongue. What are you speaking? Because you speak out of your heart. What are you speaking? What are you saying over you? What are you saying over your children? Dear God, say something good. Tell them how wonderful they are. Tell them how smart they are. Tell them they're beautiful. Why? Because they're created in God's image. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just get that one down. We will leave the house victorious. Stand with me. I believe that there's some lies that need to fall. I don't think you got that. I believe that you are here today and you are believing a lie about yourself. And Satan has planted that in your mind. And until that thing falls, your life will not change. And if you go down that lie, your life will be damned. You'll never be happy in your life. You'll never be satisfied until you become the man or woman that God has created you to be. Don't base your life on a lie. Don't even base your life on what you see in the mirror. You base your life on what Jesus says about you. What's the truth about Mark Andrew? What's the truth about Sandy Hawkins? What's the truth? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would have everlasting life. You see, the price that God gave was a high price. I don't know about you, but I don't pay a BMW price for a Ford. Do you? If I'm going to pay a BMW price, I want to drive away in a BMW. I'm not crazy about BMWs. But they got a high price. You see, I think the reason God says I'm going to give my son is because He saw absolute value in you. I believe when He looks at you, He says, He's worth it. She's worth it. You are worth the price that Jesus paid for your life. That's powerful. Let's pray. Father God, I come before you today. God, I pray, Lord, that this has made sense not only to our minds, but to our spirit. God, I come against the curse of Satan, that some are here today believing a lie. And I bind it in Jesus' name. God, I pray very loudly that you would speak the truth into our life and that we would get our identity from you. We have your DNA inside of us. We are made in your image, in your likeness. God, help us to believe your report, not the report of the enemy. God, I pray that the men of this church would recognize as a spiritual high priest that they need to pull some things down, pull some strongholds down that their children can go free. I pray, God, that the sins of the past, Lord, would be broken off of us in Jesus' name. That alcoholism and drug addiction, Lord, that the pornography and the sexual sins, God, would be broken today in Jesus' name. So that our children can make good choices. Smile upon our children today with your grace. May we access your grace by faith today. God, I pray for this church, these dear saints that you have brought together. God, I pray that they receive life. Every service that they're here, Lord, let them receive life. It may be something they've never heard in their life before. It may be a little strange to them. They may think these people are just way too emotional. But God, let them help to push beyond that and see the truth of what you're saying about them. Help us to get armed for battle today. Help us to put on Christ. In every form, in every aspect, to be dressed, ready for a battle. I thank you, Father. You have not called us to defeat. You have called us to triumph. And we bear the smell, even, according to Corinthians, even the aroma of us is the aroma of triumph. It's the aroma of life. A victory. I thank you, Jesus, that we are victorious. So I speak to myself and I say, you line up with the Word of God, oh man. You line up. You are who God says you are. You are who God says you are. Now put on that helmet of salvation. And walk in renewed thoughts today. Break the cycle of sin over our lives in Jesus' name. So the power of the blood of Christ flows through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny.